How many here is thankful to be born again? Isn't that a great thing? To be born again. You were born in sin, but you were born again under righteousness. You were born in darkness, but you now are born in light. You were born with a death sentence, but now you are born with forevermore life. That is a wonderful thing. As Gordon said a while ago, no matter what this world brings, and it's about to bring a lot, and what it brings, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. That's the hope of our glory, is that He is in us. So it doesn't matter what we face or what we see. Our hope is not attached to politics. It's not attached to the world. It's not attached to Sharia law that will try to take over this nation. But what it's attached to is this. It is attached to the cross of Calvary that still stands in the hearts of those that believe. We have a King who is our King now, tomorrow, and forever. And nothing in this world that will come will change His position in our lives. Nothing can change that. We are crowned with a crown of righteousness and wear a robe of white because of what He did 2,000 years ago. So do not fear what comes ahead. We know what lies ahead of us. And that is a forever destiny that was preordained before the foundation of the world was laid. Your name was written and called to be part of His kingdom. That's a beautiful thing. We are not here. This is not our home. And we'll talk about that this morning in Ecclesiastes, how we see a world so groping and searching for success and for things and for riches and for money, and how the world defines success as what size house you live in or what kind of car you drive or what kind of clothes you wear or what your family name is or what your job is. Success is so defined by things that are temporary, but true success is not temporary. True success is eternity. That is where we are. True victory is what we did when we bowed our knee at the foot of the cross and said, Jesus, I believe in you. That is true victory. That's when we cross from being a failure to being a success. That's where riches were gained at the blood of Jesus. That's what we need to rely on and rest in, and rest in the joy of what God has already done. You know, I was there, church, and nothing wrong with things, nothing wrong with success, nothing wrong with achieving things. I believe in all that. You know, I believe in achieving your dream, absolutely. But we must realize that every dream in this world is going to come to an end. Every success will come to a halt. Every bank account you can't take with you. Every car you'll leave behind, every lake home will stay here. Everything you've accumulated will not go to the next step that you go into eternity. It all remains behind. So what good is it to have all of these things but be absent of the main thing? And that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that in Ecclesiastes 2. And this man could talk because he had it. Easy for a poor man to say, I don't believe in being rich, right? Pretty easy for a poor man to say that. Pretty easy. But Solomon is a great example because Solomon was a very rich man and a very powerful man and a very famous man. He had everything his heart desired. And we think, wow, man, if I could have what Solomon had. But look what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 2, beginning with verse 1. Now, my message this morning, title of my message, you got a recording, Melly? Thank you, baby. I mean, thank you, Melly. For those of you who don't know, she is my wife, so I can call her baby. We're going to title this message, Only Jesus Satisfies. Only Jesus Satisfies. Solomon here, verse 1, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I saw in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them, all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Now let me stop here and just talk. Wait, he's not talking about planting an apple tree in your backyard. He's talking about he had vineyards, acres and acres and acres and acres of vineyards. He made ponds and lakes and rivers. I mean, he created all this stuff. And he had all the cattle he needed, all the women he needed, all the money he needed, all the wine he needed, all the fame, all the relationships, all the friends, all the companions. He had all of these things. And we think that these things is what satisfies us. But there is a deep longing in every human being that knows there's more than this. Church, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to read a scripture in a minute that proves my point. But there's something inside of every human that longs for something more than this. We think if I just had more money, I'd be happy. That's not what happiness is attached to. If I just had a better marriage, if I just had a better kid, if I just had a better car, if I just had a better this, if I just get the mice out of my house, that is not the fulfillment of your happiness. It is not. Because we were created for something deeper. You know why temporary things don't satisfy us? Because we're not temporary. We are eternal. And so temporary things can never satisfy something that's eternal. It just doesn't work. It's like apples and oranges. They're two different things. And we live our lives thinking the temporal things will satisfy our wet, licky chops appetite. Man, look at that Lexus SUV 36494Z5. If I could just have one of those with the heated seats, man, my hind end will be warm every morning. Oh, I love it. I love it. All you got to say is crank. It cranks like Kid on Knight Rider. If I just had that. If I just had that. Man, if I just had that boat. Man, I go to Lake Norman and got this. Man, if I just had that boat. If I just had. Man, if I just had that woman. Good, man, she is hotter than hell. If I just had that woman, man. Have you said? But that don't satisfy, though. But Pastor, have you seen her in those jeans? Man, have you seen her? That girl hot. But that won't satisfy. Because all of that is temporary. With me, thank you. I was getting ready to tie in that when you said that. I was getting, it's funny her time. I was going to say, 20 years ago, I was a lot hotter. Then she said, amen. I was a lot hotter. But guess what? That wore off. It wears off. If you look at my wedding, I had my wedding picture here one day on the information table, and people were coming by saying, who is that? They didn't know who I was. About to have a third husband. So that was I had the hair, and I looked so different, and I was younger, and I had a baby face, you know, and time changes that. I don't look the way I did 20 years ago. I look a lot different, and because I'm temporary, because things change. But the one thing that doesn't change is the security we have in the Lord, is that secure place. That's why Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. So he's got a place waiting on us. He's got a position in the next realm that's all ours, that he has sealed and preserved until that day of redemption, to when we fully walk into what God has for us. So Solomon's got all this stuff. Now he's not done yet. Look at verse 8. I gather me silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings of the providences. I got me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and all that sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And my wisdom remained with me. Now think about this. Think if you could be rich, good looking, all the women you wanted, all the money you wanted, all the fame you wanted, and be wise. What's missing? Not much, is it? Let's see what's missing. Verse 10, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of my labor. But then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. How can a man that had all of this say it means nothing? Because at this point of Solomon's life, he had gotten older. He was coming to a more seasoned part of his life. And he realized that all he had accomplished could not go with him. All that he had built would remain behind. All that he had gained and increased in money and fame and women and prosperity and authority and kingship, none of that could go to the next place he was going. And he realized, okay, I've done it. What's next? Are we like that as human beings? I know as a man I am. I don't know if women's the same way. I think men are geared a little, wired a little different than women this way. But there's women like this too. But for me, it's almost like the journey is the joy. The journey is the joy more than the final result. It's the journey that's the joy. It's the building. I mean, you look back at somebody like Donald Trump. He's got all this stuff. He's at an end result of being one of the wealthiest people in the world. But you know what? I bet the journey was more fun than the end result. The building, the journey, the accomplishing, seeing the numbers year by year increase, 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 buying this, buying that, I'm bigger, I'm better, I'm more, I'm this. And then he gets to the end result. He says, man, what next? You get to a point as human beings, you say, what next? I've done this. I've done that. I mean, I'm not talking about even if you're rich. Let's take this for example. I've got the career I wanted. I went to school. I'm a teacher. That's what I want to do. I've accumulated that. I'm married. Got a good man. Check. I've had 2.5 kids, like Opie say. Check. I've got my dog and my cat. Check. I've got the car I wanted. Check. I've got the church I enjoy. Check. And we go through life and we realize, okay, we've accomplished what we wanted to in the natural. Because society kind of points us that way. You know, you grow up, you get married, you have kids, you get a house, you get a job, you pay taxes if you're in the, 49%. You pay taxes, and you do all this stuff. And then you say, man, what next? God, I'm still really not complete. What next? You know, when your kids, you spend a lot of your time raising your kids. Then when they get grown, there's a void there. Okay. The house is empty. The kids are gone. What next? So you start pursuing something else. You start pursuing careers you never would have thought you'd pursue just to fulfill something. Or you do something different just to fulfill something. You go get a wild car you never would have dreamed you got. That's why you see 55, 60-year-old men like Doc getting Corvettes. Because Doc wants to be 25 again. So he gets a Corvette. And he don't get over 45 miles an hour. He's got shades on with his hair in the wind blowing. He looks good. And in his head, every traffic light he stops at, the women are staring, but they're really not. They're really saying this, bless his little poor old heart. He's trying to be young. He's so cute and sweet. Hey, old man. But see, in Doc's head, they checking me out. You want this. Funny how our mind thinks, isn't it? We're so shallow as men. Bless our hearts, we're shallow. But we try to accumulate things thinking that's the next big thing. If I can get the beach house, the mountain cabin, if I can get this, we live our lives not, can't wait to retire. And then we retire, we're miserable. Oh my God, I mean, Lord. Well, my dad left pennies, he worked more than he did pennies after he retired. Are you kidding me? Why? Because there's a void there. There's an emptiness that only Jesus can satisfy because all these things pass away. We look in the mirror at ourselves and we say, okay, I'm 50 years old, I'm 55, I'm 60. I look over my life. You know, the best years in the natural are behind me. The longest years in the earth more likely are behind me. So then we start looking ahead of us. Okay, what's ahead? I spent 40 years building this. Here I am. Now what? This is where Solomon was. Now what? I've got all I want. I can have a different woman every night the rest of my life. People know me all over the region. Queens come and visit me because they heard what I had. Queen Sheba made a visit just to see if Solomon really was who they said he was. And she didn't come empty-handed. She brought all this possession with her, all this gold, all this stuff, and presented to him. I mean, he had more than he ever spent in his lifetime, yet he said it's vanity. It's what he really was saying is, I'm empty. I'm empty. We see a young generation thinking success defined by money with, you know, you see the rap stars, you see the country singer, you see the American Idol, you see the actors, you see all this stuff that they are seeing in the entertainment world as defining success. But if you talk to most of those people, they are miserable. Most of them's on drugs, and alcohol and in a sexual cycle they can't break, trying to find some kind of pleasure, some kind of fulfillment. You ever see on a VH1, they have always behind the scene bands where it talks about them developing, and they, every one of the stories are the same. They get famous and they go down, they crash and burn. Every single one of them crash and burn because they get on the substance abuse, they get on women. You see them, you know, getting women behind stage thinking that's what they want, and they end up just getting a cycle. It doesn't satisfy. It's kind of like I've used the example of lemonade. Everybody's drunk lemonade. Has anybody never tried lemonade in here? Everybody's had lemonade, right? So you know what it tastes like. When you are really thirsty, you've been out there on the basketball court, you know, shooting for a couple hours, playing in the sun, you're sweating, you're hot. You come in, you're so thirsty. So you get some lemonade. Tastes good, the taste. But then you got to have another glass, right? And another glass. And another glass until you're puking sick. Like you swallowed the basketball, you're so full of lemonade. But you're still thirsty, aren't you? Lemonade don't quench your thirst. Sweet tea don't quench your thirst. We like it, but don't quench our thirst. The only true beverage that really quenches our thirst naturally is water. Everything else depletes water out of our body or keeps us thirsty. So we got a world drinking lemonade. Drinking the Kool-Aid, let's just say. Drinking, some of y'all know what that means. Drinking the lemonade. But we're still thirsty. And we drink, and we drink. We drink in this area, we drink in this area, we drink a cup in this area, thinking that's what we need. But yet we're still thirsty. Because we're trying to fill an eternal existence with something that passes away. We were created and made to live forever. In the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve, they were made to live forever. Without sin, without sickness, without failure, without defeat, without discouragement, without fear. They were the perfect creation of God. And they were meant to live forever. And you know what? We still are meant to live forever. That's why the blood was shed, that we could again live forever. And we long for that. Gordon put it very clearly about, I'm looking forward to home. See, as a Christian, if we could view that differently, you know, and God's changed my perspective on this, because I used to always think that was so negative and why are we talking about that. But as you realize who you are in Christ, it's not about death. It's about life. It's not about leaving something good behind. It's about leaving everything behind and going to something that is good. There is a place that every saint, every child of God that's come under the blood will walk into and will inherit and will see with their own eyes the beauty God has planned for them. A place that will never miss here. A place there will never be any separation of God's presence. A place that will forevermore, He will be there forevermore, where time, and there's a lot of deep stuff we can get in on that, and we ain't going to get into this morning because you're a Sunday morning crowd. You got to come back. So I want to make sure you come back. But there's a lot of deep stuff. We start talking about time and space. How that time and space in the kingdom of God is different than time and space here. It's different in that there is no time and space. Really think about it. There is no time. We define time. Because people say, you mean I'm going to be praising the Lord for, man, I can't sit in church an hour and a half. I got to praise God forever? How's that going to be? You mean that for 24 hours a day, pastor, 7 days a week, the rest of my life, I'll be praising God? We don't base it that way. We'll have no concept of time in the kingdom of God. There'll be no concept of time. There'll be no concept of space. There'll be no concept like we have concepts here in the earth. It's a whole different dimension. You know, I love the old Star Trek. Not the new ones, not Next Generation. I love the original geeky Star Trek. With Spock in his ear, the geeky Star Trek. And I always was amazed how I loved when they would transport. They would go in the transport room, and I so thought about how that's the Lord. Do you realize they could be on the ship and in an instant be somewhere else? And they didn't physically get there. They were in some kind of spiritual transformation. You know, beam me down, and you see the little crystal. It disappeared. And next thing you know, they appear out there on Earth. There they are. Wouldn't that be cool? Disney World, beam me down. Hey,
Hey, Mickey. Hey, Jay. Hi, Mickey Mouse. Come on in. Let's have a good time. Boy, that would be great, wouldn't it? There's no measure of time and space. We will be instantly there, and then when we are there, we won't be bound by walls or natural streets or roads. It'll just be a... That's too... Anyway, we won't get into all that this morning. But that's what's waiting on us, something really good. As a country boy said, just something really good. That's what's waiting on you. Just something good. So we can't define it, can't understand it all. I just know it's good. And I know it's right, and I know it's forever. And I know I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to miss anything here. All the works, I won't be saying, oh, Lord, I wonder, man, I left that money to my three kids. I sure hope Jamie don't try to get it all from, because, you know, he's kind of a, you know, trying to work that money out of his two sisters and stuff, trying to get. I sure hope they don't blow my inheritance. I sure hope they keep the family home. I sure hope they don't sell off the land. I sure hope they don't get rid of the boat. And y'all pay me more than you thought, didn't you? I sure hope they don't get rid of all this stuff. See, we won't be thinking about things like that. But they got me tied to a cord. Y'all are safe this morning. I can't get past this podium. Doggone it. Where's I at? What's the last thing I was saying? Oh, the boat, yeah. Oh, Solomon. Solomon was at a point, he was evaluating what happens with my stuff. He was like, okay, I've built this. What's going to happen to it? I'm going to be gone. So is it going to be wasted? Who's it go to? Does it even matter? I've did all this stuff to leave it behind. If we could realize all that we're doing now is going to be left behind other than our commitment to Jesus Christ, we would live life a lot more free. Don't we get so stressed over our finances, over our bills, over paying this, over paying that, over working for the man, right? Working for the man. And we live our lives so stressed, and we let our bosses, and no offense to any bosses that are here, but we let our bosses just completely just stress, and oh, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm letting this ruin and run my life. You got to listen. Of course you got to listen. But we act like that's what it has to be. Instead of saying, God, I want to be free in knowing that this is a very temporary walk. And I'm going to have the fun while I do it, live life the fullest, sow seeds of your word in people's lives, and do what makes a difference, planting seeds of the gospel to other people. That's what counts. That's what's eternal. Look at verse 12. I turn myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath done already done? Then I saw the wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the foolish walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance. Look at this. There is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Who can remember without Googling? No Google phones out right now. Anybody, can you name the winning Super Bowl team 3 years ago? Who? 3 years ago? How'd you know that? You're ruining my moment. Who won the World Series 3 years ago? 3 years ago, who won the World Series? Anybody remember? Without Googling it. Who won the World Series last year? You are a smarty pants. Go for another topic here. Who won the CMT award 3 years ago? Who won the top award? Who won CMT Vocals of the Year 3 years ago? I don't know. Oh, I got two separate ones. Male. The point I'm trying to make is this. If somebody would quit heckling, is We don't remember those things. In the moment, we're celebrating, and all the, you know, the Yankees won, the Giants won, you know, Garth Brooks won, or whatever. We all this stuff. Telling my age, ain't I, Garth Brooks? All this stuff. But then a few years pass by. You know, Patrick Swayze died, you know, of pancreatic cancer. He was in the movie Roadhouse and, Dirty Dancing, and made several movies back in the 80s. Ghost, yeah. And I had the time of my life. And anyway. Thank you. Anyway, in his day, he was big. He was a star. A lot of girls liked him. Thought he was good looking, you know, and all this, a big star. But when he got to the end of his road, those movies couldn't save his life. Who he was didn't change anything. All the women he may or may not have slept with or knew, I don't know anything about that, but all of his fans could not surround his bed and make him whole. He came to a point in his life, I bet he thought, man, all the movies I made, all the money I accomplished, all the fame I achieved, and here I lie in a bed in a hospital wherever he was, dying of something they can't cure. What have I gained? Lord, what have I gained? It's at that point of our lives we must realize we all will come to that point. I was watching a Bonanza the other day, and it was the one where Little Joe had fired his old, the wrangler on the trail was old. He'd gotten old. He said, he can't do the job no more, Dad. And he said, well, we'll get rid of him. So he came to collect his wages, this old guy, been doing it 50 years. And he looked at Little Joe, and he says, just remember something, son. I wasn't born old. I grew into it. That's a pretty profound line. You know what? We weren't born the way we are right now. We've all grown into it, in the natural, I mean. And so we all come to a point of our lives, we must recognize what is success and what have I achieved. And when I come to the end of my journey, can I say, whew, thank you, Lord. I'm ready. I know what lies ahead. And what I've accomplished don't really matter. It's where I'm going next that matters. It's what's waiting on me next is what really matters. We can live life so much more free if we recognize that and quit trying to strive for every dollar thinking it's going to make or break our lives. I've just learned to realize. I've told Melanie all of the years we've been married and we've had our ups and downs as far as financial, like every other family, raising kids, and Melanie stayed home for a lot of years, and just we've struggled. And I would always tell her, baby, don't worry about it. There's more money where that came from. I mean, there is. I might not get it, but there's more money where that came from. So, you know, it's there. It's just money. It's all going to pass away. But the one thing that doesn't pass away is our soul. Our soul goes forevermore to live with the Lord if we are His children. So when we look at our lives, here's the greatest accomplishment we should have. Not the houses we've bought and sold or turned, or the cars we bought and drove, or the trips we've taken, or the vacation homes we've built. What we should say at the end of our life is this: Jesus, thank you for finding me. And I have an inheritance waiting on me that's forever. That's my accomplishment, that I'm born again. Thank you, Jesus. Solomon was a man that should have been very happy. But he began to recognize that his happiness was going to stay here. I put on Facebook yesterday a comment. One thing I put on the end of it was that we need to stop searching for happiness and start resting in joy. There's a difference. Happiness and joy are two different things. You know, I mean, it all passed away. Me and a friend went to the football game last night at Statesville with the firemen versus the policemen, the guns versus the hoses. The guns. Yeah, it was rigged. But anyway. I'm sorry. Refs gave that game to him over and over. Good. Anyway, we'll go ask. But we're at the game. And had fun. It was a good game. We was hollering and yelling, having a good time, you know. And I was happy. I was out with one of my guy friends that was kind of a guy night. And man, I was really happy. I really missed my wife, but I really was happy. And so we're cheering and yelling, you know, and having a good time. It was just nice to be out and all that. And it was a good experience. And I enjoyed it. Some people I knew playing on the team, and it was just it was fun. And but you know, that all passed away, don't it? It was fun for the moment. But when I come to the end of my life, I'm not going to be thinking about the guns and hoses. Even though the hoses, you know, got robbed. Me and my friend had a perfect headline this morning for the paper, it should have said, "Fireman got robbed by police." Wouldn't that be funny? Anyway. you just had to be there to see the game if you want. But it was, every time they scored, I got a penalty and took it away. And then finally went in double overtime. It was a great game. Real good game. But nothing against the police. I love the police. The police are my friend. Make sure y'all tell everybody you know, the Pastor Living Word loves the police. But, you know, we can have happiness in those moments. We go on vacation, Disney World, happiest place in the world, right? I love Disney World. I want to go back so bad. I love it. You go down there and you got, it's the only place Melly likes a mouse. You go down there and Mickey comes out and Goofy comes out. Of course, Mickey. It's so great. I love it. I've got pictures with them and stuff, and it's the happiest place in the world. They're singing all this music. You go in a small world. It's a small world. And they sing it in like 10 different languages. So by the time you get through it, you're kind of over it. But it's really good. And you're in that happy place. And then guess what? You get home and the bill comes. Then you're not happy no more. Why did I go in that stupid place, wasted all that money? I'll be paying for 2 years for this trip. But in the moment, you're happy. Man, you're happy. But all that passes away. And the point of this message, the moral of this, is that you get to a point in your life that you realize that temporary things can't fill an eternal work. So what's the only thing that fills our is a relationship with God. Lord, I need you. And when we get a relationship with God, we're filled. We're completely filled. There truly is enough in God to completely fill our lives. He is enough, church. He is all that we need. We're empty. We may be feeling empty. And we're trying to fill it with so many things that we just don't. That's why we act out. That's why we act stupid sometimes. Our behavior is not what it should be, because we're trying to grasp something to give us some sort of solace or peace. And we search for it maybe in a bottle or a drug or a woman or a man or a relationship or a club or whatever we search for. We're trying to find something to give us solace. And the devil is great about justifying it in our minds, isn't he? Man, I got a YouTube thing pulled up under, you'll see it under PowerPoint. I want you to get ready for it. The devil justifies it by saying this. Now, see if you've ever heard this from the devil. Now, be honest with yourself. I want to get real, real, because this is how the devil works. He's real. You ought to go out and mess around. You know what? You deserve that. You got a hard life. God understands. You know, I know how she is, and she's, yeah, I know how he is, and yeah, you know, you deserve that. And you start, no, you deserve that. Come on, man, look at all that you deal with, all the pressure on your life, and man, you're only mortal, and God understands. And by the way, you're saved by grace. The devil loves you in the grace car when it appeases to him. And so all of a sudden he starts talking to us, and we start justifying why we do the things we do. We justify it. We've all been there. Church, I'm there. I've justified things I've done. I have justified it in my mind why I did it. And then I pay the price later with shame and guilt. And I realize it wasn't justified. The devil justified it, but it wasn't justified by God. We are human beings that crave being filled all the time. And that's why love is the greatest. You know, the first thing God established on the earth was marriage. Relationship. Thank you, darling. That's why relationships are so powerful. You know why women always pick the wrong guys? Because they are drawn to relationship. I see women pick the wrong guy over and over. I'm saying you left the last one because he's a drunk. And now you got another drunk. Makes a lot of sense, don't it? Why are you drawn? And their head knows it. He's bad for me. I know he's bad for me. But I just can't help it. I know it's not right, but I just can't help it.
we're drawn to that because there's an inner longing to be filled, and we fill it with bad boys or bad things or bad stuff or bad thoughts, and we still are empty. We're empty. The only living water that fills us is the water from the well, the well of Jesus Christ. He truly completes us. We have all we need in Him, church. I promise you, all you need is in Christ. When you know who you are in Him, you can face your tomorrow with victory and with power and with a vision of hope and glory. Not letting this pull you down, but letting that pull you ahead. The cross should be a light like a mosquito, you know, them bug lights on a porch. The cross should be a light to us that continually draws us toward that. Draws us closer and closer to Him every single day. We're drawn closer and closer. All of you, if I pass the mic around, could testify of things you've done to try to fill your needs, and you would say it was a complete failure. Didn't feel nothing I needed. Nothing that I needed. We think it does, but it doesn't. At the well is where we have our answers. In closing, I want to play this song called The Well. I just want to open up the altar to each of you that are empty today. You're like Solomon. You're in your position now saying, I'm just going through the motions, but what have I accomplished? I'm going through the routine. I wake up, I go to work, I eat, I sleep, I go home, I'm raising a family, I'm paying bills, but I'm just empty. You know the difference in church and relationship, or the difference in or church and religion and church? God wants us to have a relationship with Him, a real relationship. Not just a church service on Sunday, but our relationship throughout the week. That's what fills us. To know you got a God that's never going to leave you. Never going to leave you. If you're empty today, as this song's being played, I'm going to open up the altar this morning for you to come and just talk to God for a few minutes. I'm not going to pray for anybody. We're not going to do all that. I want you just coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, fill me with you. Nothing else is working. God, I need you. You may be in a place, you're a very seasoned Christian, but you're still empty. Do you know Christians can run very empty? Church, I want to tell you, me and Melanie both through the years, and you know, we put on happy faces, and you know, we love each other, and we love all of you, and we love God, and we love people. But there are a lot of times that we're one big hurt behind a smile. We're one big discouragement behind a smile. We grow empty sometimes. There's times I feel so empty I can't, like I can't even crank the car, much less go anywhere with it. I'm empty. Why do we grow empty? Because we do not continually get filled. We run for so long and don't stop and get refilled. Maybe you need a refilling this morning, just a refilling of God's mercy, God's presence, God's love, God's anointing. If that's you today, before we leave this service, I want you to leave filled with what you came empty in here with. Leave filled. Just come talk to God. Lord, I'm here I am. Fill me. I'm not happy. I need a recharge. I need a refreshing. I need some new joy. I need some direction. I'm not happy where I'm at. I'm in a bad place. Church, we can get in bad places, Christians. I don't talk about far living out in the world. I'm talking about we can just be in a bad place emotionally, a bad place mentally. I mean, the psychiatric wards are filled with wonderful people that just got in a bad place and couldn't get out. If you're in a bad place and just want to come to the well, as this song's played, please come to the altar. Just talk to God. When the song ends, we'll close out that part of service. It's about a 4 or 5 minute song. Gives you just a minute to come kneel before the Lord and just have a moment with Him. Say, God, here I am. Fill me. As this song's being played, if that's you, please come up this morning.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind. Come to the well, yeah. Leave it all behind. The world will try, but it can never fail. Leave it all behind. Now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well, yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of a
leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
Lord, I pray that Lord, I pray there be no pride in our hearts. God, we need to be broken before you, not ashamed. Open, God, to worship. Open to kneel before you, God. Open to shed tears before your very throne.
God, I pray you open and soften our hearts. We've let too much stuff get in. We've let too much be people dictate how we worship and how we pray and how we serve. And Lord, I want hearts to be filled today. God, I feel the burden of such emptiness and such voidness and such futility in hearts. And God, you want to feel that today. Jesus, you want to feel that today. But we must humble ourselves openly and boldly with no strings attached to say, God, here I am. I'm a vessel that needs to be filled. God, I'm a vessel that is bankrupt and is empty. And I need you, Jesus. God, I need you. I need you, Lord. You have what I need. I can pretend I'm okay, but God, I'm not. I can act tough for the whole world, but in front of you, I know I can't. You know my ways, and you know my thoughts, and you know my hurts. You know my disappointments, God. You know my struggles and my battles. The giants that stand before me, you know those things. And God, I need refreshing. I need deliverance. God, I need healing. God, I need healing. I need you today, Jesus. God, I need you. Your spirit draws, Lord, but we can quench that drawing. And when we quench it, we don't receive what you have waiting on us. Let us not quench your Holy Spirit, but let us embrace it. Say, God, I need something in my life that I don't have now. I'm tired and I'm weary and I'm broken and I'm discouraged. And God, I need empowerment. I need strength. I need wisdom. I need grace and I need mercy. I need you, Jesus. God, I need you. Church, I'm going to do something I normally don't do. I just normally don't do this. I just really feel strongly led not to break this right now. I know we're a little bit over, but just bear with me. I want to have her play the song one more time. I'm going to give you another opportunity to come to the altar. Because I feel God is drawing some people in your deliverance. People, don't have this attitude, well, I'm going to get it back in my seat. Understand, that's an attitude problem, church. I'm going to be honest, that's an attitude problem. That's pride. You can't come before a congregation of believers and bow before the Lord. Wow. That's a shame. I'm not saying any of you feel that way, but if you do, that's a shame. Our Savior went to the cross of public shame, stripped of all of his royalty and dignity, and hung publicly up on a hill, exalted for all to see our sin. This is a family of believers, church. I want to tell you something. One thing God has told me about the new year coming in, that we need to know what we're thankful for. And we need to show God we're thankful. We need to open ourselves up and worship our living King. He's done so much for us. So I want to play this song again. And I just, church, if this is your chance. Some of you won't be back till next Sunday or maybe 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. This is your chance. The song's being played as God is drawing. If God is drawing you, just to say, God, feel me. I'm not happy. Nothing wrong with saying I'm not happy, church. We need the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. I want you to leave dancing out of this place with the joy of the Lord again in your soul. Knowing I've been with the Lord today. I've been with the Lord. Play it one more time, Melanie. We'll close after this.
Leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy, and the world leaves you high and dry. Just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Yeah. Leave it all behind. The world will try, that you're full of love beyond measure. Your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me. 'Cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
Nothing like feeling refreshed in the Holy Spirit. He has what you need at the well. He has what you need. Glory to God. I am so thankful that I serve a living God. A God I can feel. A God I can experience. A God that touches our very heart. And we know He's there. We know He's alive. You know, God knew how important relationships was. It's why He created marriage. It's also the relationship He has with us that's so important. And He knows that. And that's what fulfills us. And that's what satisfies us. Only Jesus satisfies. We leave here today, just remember, only Jesus satisfies. Nothing else. Thank you for your time this morning. If I can get the ushers to come up this morning, receive our offering, morning offering and tithes and building fund, whatever that you have to give this morning.